everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call KQBAR. Righty, it's a good answer. This is W2TTT and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. That is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz, a 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The net may be accessed by using a -600 offset, -600 kilohertz offset, I should say, and of course a tone of 141.3, tone of 141.3. That is conducted for the purpose of having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunication, the natural arts and sciences of your IR hobby, and of course, our experiences, what we've done with the hobby, what we aspire to do with the hobby, and things we'd hope to do again. They sometimes are the most valuable stories. Sometimes the funniest or more interesting. We also can post for sale Swapper Wanted items. You're encouraged to do so as well. So those are the kinds of things that we look for in the net, and hopefully you'll participate on any of those levels. We encourage you to check in even if you don't have one of those items to contribute, because it helps us gauge who's on the net and therefore how to frame the net to be most effective for amateur radio operators in the community. So again, we hope you'll participate, even if you don't have anything directly to contribute. Alrighty, let's talk about how we check in. We check in by calling, by giving our call sign, our name. Then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, or sales swap or wanted items. They said some combination of those things, or none of the above. Do it by call sign group. We like them one at a time, please, because I am literally typing with one hand and holding a microphone in another, and I cannot do five things at once. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with call sign Whiskey, please call KDBAR.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and no traffic.
Okay, I got Bob, WA2IC. Good evening, Bob. Who is the other station?
Yeah, hi, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2IC in Pearl River and just.
2UMP, I got you, Jim. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
This is. Juliet Charlie, Centaur.
Jim, what are your intentions?
Comment, over.
The comment, thank you, Jim. All right, very good. Any other whiskey?
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Good evening, Don. Got you with a comment as well. Any other whiskey?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Good evening, Charlie. Always good to hear you as well, and welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2TKE, Frank, just listening.
Good evening, Frank. Long time no hear. Actually, I've heard you elsewhere, but haven't had a chance to drop my call and say hello. I think I heard you on 5-2 of all places, I think. But anyway. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? Abused and tail-ended. How about kilos?
KQBAR, K2OSC. None of the above at the moment.
2 Oscar Sierra Tango, Bob.
Oscar Fox Charlie.
Alpha Fox Charlie, I'm sorry. K2 Alpha Fox Charlie. Very good, Bob. Welcome aboard. Just listening, you said?
Oscar, not Alpha. So, Knights of Columbus. K2OFC, Knights of Columbus.
Oscar Foxtrot Charlie. Is that correct? K2 Oscar Foxtrot Charlie.
That is correct.
The Knights of Columbus confused me. Next kilo. They're kilos. About a month or so ago, we had a check-in. We had one whiskey or no whiskeys, no whiskeys at all throughout the entire net. And we have a string of like 8 or 9 kilos. It was hysterical. Tonight it seems to be the reverse. All right, Alpha Stations, please go.
AC2GI, Rich with a question.
Rich, I want to hear about what your pending trip is. I think it's pending, if I remember right. Very good. We got you down for a question. Any other kilos? Alphas, I'm sorry. How about Novembers? Anybody on Echo Link via K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L? Any call sign at this time?
W2TU Chris, checking in late and listening.
Chris, welcome aboard as well. How's your wife doing on a break?
She is slow recover, and she's doing very well, thank you.
Okay, glad to hear that. Alrighty, anybody else for late check-ins? W2JEK, Don, it's your ball, K2BAR.
Alright, K2BAR in the net, W2JEK, good evening everyone. Tomorrow night is Barra's VE test session. This is the first one of the fall season. It'll be at 7 p.m. tomorrow night at the Westwood Borough Hall, Township of Washington Borough Hall. Township of Washington Borough Hall, the senior center where we have the Barra Club meetings. 350 Hudson Avenue. It's across the street from the strip mall there with the food town. If you're coming, you'll need identification such as a driver's license or a passport with a photo on it or 2 non-photo IDs. Test fee is $15. And if you have a license, please bring your license and a copy of that license. And if you have a commercial license, do not have a ham license. Some people coming for the tech test but have a commercial license with an FRN number. You'll need that information. Otherwise, if you are coming for just tech license and you do not have commercial license, you'll need your social security number. And if you still bring a calculator, that's fine. The memory has to be empty. Cell phones, iPods, and other devices cannot be used as calculators. Back to net, W2JK.
Don, very good. Anybody have any questions for Don? Hey Don, anything you want to follow up with?
Just a reminder that people who had a technician license issued before March 21st, 1987 can paper upgrade to a general pass license now because the Morse code has gone away. The only difference between the tech and the general license was the 5 words a minute code to the tech and the 13 words a minute for the general. But the written test was the same. So we can prove that you had a tech license at that time and do a paper upgrade. Also, people whose licenses have lapsed beyond the 2-year grace period and were a general, advanced, or extra class license, get back into ham radio by taking the current technician exam and then you will get credit as you were a general, you will get credit as for your general you were in advance, you will get credit for an advance because they no longer issue an advance license. So you get a general. And if somebody had an extra license, they will also get back with an extra license. And of course, you'd have to prove that with your documentation for that. With that, back to that. And remember, this is at the Township of Washington Borough Hall, we're not this time. Back to that for W2JK.
That they no longer use the high school. Basically, the test sessions are now where we have our Barra meetings and our Barra kit night. So that's good to know. Alrighty. Anybody have any last minute questions for Don? Alrighty. Well, thank you, Don. Much obliged, and thank you for running the test sessions and for your team's fine work. Alrighty, W2JC, your comments are key to the air.
This is W2JC. Well, now it's three comments, but if you can't make Friday night, the Fairlawn Club is running license testing on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in Fairlawn at the Rec Center. Number two, this weekend is the New Jersey QSO party, and the Fairlawn Club will be on the air with Whiskey 2 November Papa Tango. Everybody's welcome to work them. And my original comment was, have you seen information about the new HT that R-Finder, the repeater directory people have come out with, where it has the whole repeater directory on the screen and you just tap it and it sets the HT up for the proper frequency and PL and mode, and it does FM and DMR and all that stuff? Or?
No, I have not. That sounds intriguing. So, R-Finder, now are they the folks who are in collaboration with the league on the repeater directory too?
I'm not sure, but they sell subscriptions to their repeater directory on the web. I believe it's rfinder.com or .org. Or?
Book is the other one. That's the one that does that. All right, so rfinder. No, I'm seeing depth finders and other things like that. Android DMR, someone just queued that to me. Frank, thank you very much. You just sent it to me on Google Chat. Thank you. First and only HT for FM and DMR that is point and click choosing FM and DMR repeaters. It's IP67. Waterproof, dustproof, shockproof. It's 440 megs only, I think. That may be the one limitation, but it's not a bad start. Let's read what it says. Oh, that's slick. AndroidDMR.com, www.AndroidDMR.com. Thank you, Frank, for that. That was a supporting thing of you. To UHFHT, but apparently it'll do GSM and 4G LTE. That's even more exciting.
W2JC?
Sir?
I put a video up when I first got the information on the Fairlawn blog. If you go to blog.fairlawnarc.org, you'll see it there. And it's got some of the background information if anybody wants to look at it, or...
Truly excellent. We'll have to give this due consideration and then some. That's pretty neat. So it doesn't look like it's out yet. So tell us more.
I believe it's coming out within a week or two. You're correct. It's only 440. But they say they're working with the designers to get a dual band equivalent model out. I forget what the price is. It's not outrageous, but it's not bullfang price.
Like the under
November, but 300 comes to mind. I don't know. I wouldn't count on that, though.
Pretty cool. I mean, the IP67 is in itself pretty handy, but good stuff. You know, we had a talk from Kai last weekend, and you know, at the bar meeting and on DMR, and it was quite entertaining. I would I have a DMR radio, which I wasn't really getting much use out of. I must say I've been more tempted to play with it this week than in weeks past, so that's a good thing. Anybody else? Frank, do you have any comments on it?
No, I heard about it this morning or as well. I will say I've seen a lot of new radios been advertised over the past few weeks, a lot of them in the digital area. So it seems like there's some new toys coming out for us to tinker with, so that's good. W2TK, back to net.
Very good. Yep. I mean, I've been intrigued by the TYT and the 380 and 390 with GPS, but then I come to find that there's not a lot of integration of that GPS into the radio's functionality. Well, there was planned integration, but never is. And yeah, this radio seems to be another $100 more than what the 390 is, but for what it sounds and looks like, it looks like it might be a little more juicy. So that's good stuff. By the way, just for grins, I'm also playing with our finder, repeater finder. And I played with repeater bug as well. And so I must say I like the format of this better than I do repeater bug for some reason. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because I'm using it on a tablet instead of a phone, but I'll try it on both. I get a free 30-day trial, so we'll try that for a month and see if I like it. Go from there.
Comment?
Please comment. Go.
KTBR-AC2GI. Yeah, I've subscribed to R-Finder for about 5 years now because of the way I travel. And I'm always it interlinks with my RT Systems program, so when I'm going on a business trip, I put the zip code in and hit the button, and every repeater within 25 miles of my zip code goes down in my HT, and I'm off to the races. So I'm glad to see that they're moving on in this technology, but they're a pretty good integrator, and their customer service is pretty good. I'm constantly getting calls from them if they see something funny on my account, or you know, I've even gotten a call from the main guy there, I forget his name right now, Bob, that he saw me attempt to log in and that, you know, I had two failed logins, was I having problems, so he called me right away. So it's a unique company. Back to net, AC2GI.
Curious, what is their subscription cost?
$9 a year.
Well, that answers my question. I just may push it out, you know, 3 weeks, get my free month, and then go for it. This is very nice. there's a mistake in it, though. NJ2BS is not listed as NJ2BS. It's listed as W2TTP, which is pretty funny, so I guess I'll have to fix that.
Okay. W2SE with a question.
Yes, sir, we'll check you in. Go ahead.
I'm going to ask the question now, Borden.
Oh, I see. It wasn't relevant to this topic. No, we'll hold off on it if you don't mind.
I do have a comment that's tangential to this discussion.
Well, all right, let's keep them on topic. We'll come back to that in a second. All right, anything else? This is a very cool little radio, but it's called www.androiddmr.com. And just for reference, I'll put that URL into the notes. The notes for this are on, or will be, on ComTech Group, on the Yahoo Group. And, you know, you're welcome to, you know, if you're not a member, you're welcome to subscribe. It's free, and it's a closed group. And you're, again, you're welcome to participate. What's nice about the Yahoo group is if you missed an email, don't worry. You can go look through email archives online as well as the file section. So pretty handy. The other thing is, I don't know whether it's still operational, but amateurradio.tangovictor used to record this net and others, and hopefully it still does, but I did notice a gap for a while. So I don't know if they had technical issues or whatever, but might also find that there too. But our finder is a very, very cool little program for $9 a month, a year, pardon me. Anyway. Very good. Anybody else have anything on this topic? Alrighty. Jim, what's your next topic?
Oh, I did all three of them at once, sir.
I wasn't keeping track. Did you want to say something about the NJQ party again?
Just that the Fairlawn Club is going to be operating from the club station, Whiskey 2 November, Papa Tango. And I guess if anybody in the area would like to come over and either watch or join in, I'm sure they'd be welcome. Over.
Okay. Very, very good. And that's at 10-10 20th Street, 10-10 20th Street in Fairlawn. If you're unsure what the schedule is going to be on Saturday or Sunday for that, largely in the daytime until they throw us out at night, and if you have any further questions, you're welcome to come by tomorrow night between 6 and 9 at the community center in Fairlawn, and get the whole lowdown. Alrighty, thank you, Jim. Let's see, we've got Jim, we've got Don. We are going to go to Rich, A2NI, A2NI, AC2GI. My autocorrect corrects you with Nico's call. That's interesting. So AC2GI, K2BA.
K2BA or AC2GI. I have a interesting phenomena on this repeater frequency. I've noticed when I leave my house, which is over on the Heldon, North Heldon Wayne border there by William Pat, and head to my office in Florham Park, there's about 6 traffic signals that create enough noise on this frequency that the radio stops scanning. And I said, well, maybe it's the radio. I've tried 3 different radios on this frequency, and they all do it at the same traffic lights, probably within, I'm going to say, 30 feet each side of the control box. And it's gotten to the point where I finally put the tone squelch on this frequency just so I didn't have to listen to the buzzing caused by it. Has anybody else heard it in different traffic lights or come across it? Back to net, AC2GI.
And not just there. There are spots at gas stations that do the same thing, and also there's a couple of spots on Route 4 where that happens. There are no gas stations. So let me ask a question. Are you facing the green light or the red light when it's worse?
Does not matter.
Okay, that's interesting because I have observed the phenomenon with HF radio where the LED green matrices throw more hash than the red for whatever reason. But yes, I have observed what you're talking about. And in fact, I am the proud borrower or an evaluator of a Tektronix RSA 507 Alpha USB 3 spectrum analyzer, and which I have on demo, released another couple of days. And one of my tasks is to go characterize those. Which these are traffic lights near your house, Rich?
There's one in Totalboro on Union Boulevard, and then the other ones are on Passaic Avenue out by Caldwell Airport all the way to Eagle Rock, out in Livingston, as far as Columbia Turnpike by the Livingston Mall. And it's only this frequency. You know, I have probably in this membrane bank, I probably have 30 repeaters, and maybe 20 repeaters that I scan. And it only locks up on this frequency.
Let me ask a question. This is all of those traffic lights down Passaic Avenue? When you come across on 46 all the way down to Eagle Rock?
Just about all of them, yes.
So that gives me an excuse on Sunday to go to Carmela's with the spectrum analyzer and a bride. So I will get ice cream for her and take the frequency measurements. We'll see what we have.
And also you can stop at the Caldwell Airport because aluminum overcast, the B-17, is in this weekend.
Boy, that was, yeah, I don't know what the fair is. We have our church carnival this weekend through Saturday. And Sunday's going to be messy. I don't know if I want to mess with an airport on Sunday in the rain, but we'll see. We'll see. That would be very cool. Anybody have any comments about this or similar problems?
K2BIR, WA2ISE. I remember K2ETN, Andy used to mention that certain buses in Bergen County tend to interfere with this repeater's output, but only if you're right near the bus. Over.
Correct. We also see it on a few other 2 meter frequencies and on HF too. It's pretty miserable, but mostly on 2 meters. Good point, though. Good point. Anybody else? Well, anyway, I'm taking the RSA 507A on a field trip this weekend, and it should be intriguing. I hope anybody else who would be interested in this adventure takes their own measurements with whatever they have. And you might want to look up the Tektronix RSA 507A. It's a pretty cool little toy. It'll read very, very fast, high resolution at 40 megs bandwidth. The state of SDR technology is just amazing how fast it's moving. It really is. Oh, I haven't had a chance to exercise it yet, but it also has a tracking generator, so I can sweep feed lines and antennas up to 7.5 gigs. So it's pretty darn amazing. That's with kind of my homework for Sunday into the early part of the week. Because by the end of the week, I think I have to send it back. But it should be interesting. If I can keep it to next Friday, I will bring it to the Fairlawn meeting next week. Alrighty. Anybody else?
And to NBR.
To NBR, go ahead.
Okay. Sounds better when I have the mic pointed in the right direction. I was just curious. Has anybody noticed whether or not it's amplitude modulated or frequency modulated or a little of both?
Rich?
I haven't switched modes. You know, it's my rig is just set up FM on you know, with regular normal squelch, and it breaks the squelch 100%. You know, I can roll the squelch all the way up, and it still comes through. Once I put the tone squelch on, of course, that got rid of the problem. But I've tried multiple radios because at first I thought it was just mine, and they all do the same thing.
Yep. I understand. Anybody else?
Question.
Go ahead.
Does this happen only at the intersections, or does it also happen between the intersections?
About 30 feet before the intersection and 30 feet after.
And have you tried left and right of the intersection to see if it's the same result?
That I have, and it's the same result.
There might be other RF devices on top of some of those lights.
Yeah, there are.
Funny, I can drive right past the airport, not a problem, but I don't even have to stop, I just have to go down the street and go through the intersection, you know, could be perfect, you know, green my way, and you keep going through it, and sure enough, it'll break, squelch, and you get to the other side of the intersection, comes back on it, the other squelch is there again, and the noise goes away.
Is it stronger northbound versus southbound?
I haven't noticed. I really haven't noticed. It seems that it favors the corner with the control box. That's the only thing I've noticed so far.
You know, I can put like a 4-element handheld Yagi on the spectrum analyzer and point it around to see if there's any directionality to this method. It happened, but I was hoping to have the spectrum analyzer on demo a few weeks later than it came. And be able to use it along with, in parallel with a receiver for the barotransmitter. That would have been a hoot.
Into NDR.
There we go.
Way back many, many moons ago, I had a TV problem in my house, and it was, actually we were on cable, come to think of it. And what it turned out to be was it was a Con Edison cross beam on a phone pole that had somehow fallen off of its insulator and started burning through the mounting part, you know, for the insulator, meaning the wood part. And then that put all kinds of junk on the TV, and, you know, and it wasn't, and at least I don't think it was, but it seemed as if it was, you know, almost plugged into the cable, and it, apparently it was just the proximity to this act of burning through the piece of wood was, I guess it had to be 13,000 volts or something like that. So the proximity factor was the influencing part, and also the fact I called Con Ed and I said, you know, what's going on here? The guy came and looked at it. He said, how'd you know it was this pole? And I said, because the S meter on my ham radio tells me it is, and I don't know what frequency it's running on. I don't know anything about it except it was creating a lot of interference both on my two-way radio, as explained to him, and my TV set. So maybe there's some sort of interference caused by a voltage issue, that's being shorted or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I've done is we've used, an AM broadcast antenna, a radio tuned to the very low end of the dial and use that as a way to isolate for some power line noise. There's also a radar engineer's device, which is acoustic, if you can believe it, and it receives, ultrasonics from crackling insulators and things like that, leakage and such. That's pretty cool with a little parabola, acoustic parabola. The other thing you can do is if you have your AM radio or your ham radio portable, like a THF6 in sideband mode or CW mode with the headphones, and a directional antenna, or you can use the internal loop antenna because it does have a lipstick and a loop inside. What you can do is walk up to a pole with a 5-pound hammer and give the pole a good smack, and you'll either hear the noise get worse or possibly go away when you give it a whack. Anyway, there you go. Anybody else?
2F6, 2J3.
Station, W2JC.
A couple of years ago, there was a similar problem on 79 at the corner of Forest and Midland in Paramus. Every time I went through with my 79 on there, same thing happened. But it went away. It was there for about 6 months or so, and then it hasn't been there for quite a while. So there might be a cure.
Very likely. Very likely. Okay, very good. Who is the other station?
Lead 2SC.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when you find something like that, every pole should have a number on it, probably 4 or 5 feet above the ground. Get the pole number and call the utility. Sometimes the utility might be Verizon in the case of my town. Other times it's PSE&G or O&R. Often it's the electric company that's on the poles. Oddly enough, in my town, it's a special case of Park Ridge. Verizon owns the pole.
That's right. That's because they used to have a municipal utility and they kind of farmed the poles for the telephone out to the phone company because they were the only utility in town that the town didn't own.
They still own the electric.
Yeah, they sold off the water, right?
Negative, we still own the water, too.
For some reason, I thought that was... I guess it's administered by Suez.
Negative, we have our own wells and our own distribution. No Suez here.
Good. Yeah, ask me how well I feel about sending money every month to a company called Suez. Ask me that. Go ahead.
No jokes about the name.
Now, besides the sewer reference, I was thinking of the sewage that's on opposite sides of the real Suez Canal.
Roger, but just call, get the call number, call the utility, and most of them are pretty good about fixing things. Be as specific as you can, frequencies, whatever else. It's often either an old, rotting connection that's oxidized and is arcing, or an arcing condition from something else, a bad splice. And arcs produce some very, very nice wideband noise. And old AM radios, even transistor radios, are great for locating those things.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, dirt... You know, accumulated dirt, especially as insulators become less shiny, they become pitted, and then dirt forms in them, and then that becomes a conductive path at times, and it's just ridiculous. So, anyway, it's all good. All right, anything else on this topic, Rich?
No, Gordon, that was it. I didn't think the conversation would go that long, but I'm glad to see that other people have seen it at different times. Again, the only thing that I've noticed, it seems to be associated with the controls box itself. And just an interesting comment, we talked briefly about LED traffic lights. Out in Wisconsin, they switched to LED traffic lights to save money and realized that in the winter, the ice would stay on the lights, and they ended up having to put heaters in to warm them up to keep the traffic lights defrosted, or de-iced, because there wasn't enough heat from the incandescent bulbs anymore. Back to that, AC2GI.
Yeah, you gotta wonder what the net power savings is at that point, not to mention all the complexity of the systems. But yep, absolutely. We have less of a problem with that here, but I can imagine even in Cleveland, places in mid-Ohio having problems with this because they have many more days below zero than we do. Alrighty, very good. W2SC, your ball, sir. Over to you, Mr. Bruce, K2BAR.
2BAR on the group, W2SC. I just had a quick question. Anybody have any suggestions for a self-contained 2-meter HT low-cost, emphasis on the word low-cost, that does APRS?
I can't think of one that's low cost per se, but would you just like something that chirps a position, or do you want to be able to receive too? I mean, what are your objectives?
Mostly with GPS and reporting location.
The
There are some cheap transmit-only APRS units. Let's see. I think Frank is probably tapping faster than I can even read. Or maybe not. Let's see. Is that you, Frank? No, it's well, yeah. But, you know, I mean, what a lot of us use are things like APRS Droid and other such things. Nancy uses something similar to that on her iPhone and her tablet, but, you know, that's another approach to it, too. But if you're trying to do something that's RF and not based on the cell network, there are a couple of APRS beacon transmitters available.
K2LCN.
K2LCN, go ahead, Rick.
K2ERR, W2LCN. I just wanted to say the company Bionic has a number of small self-contained packages. They are not the most low-priced ones, but they have a tiny tracker that you can add to something like a Bofang radio. But I think you have to watch the outputs to make sure that you get your signal out strong enough so it doesn't get stepped on by others. But take a look at the Bionics. They have a number of different versions of APRS devices to kick out a signal.
And it's Bionics with an X, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, the Bionics Tiny Tracker family are very good. And there's another one that, too, I'm just trying to remember who the other their competitor is. Anyway, that's certainly another alternative, well worth it. As I say, I use APRS Droid and an FTM-400 in my car, but... sometimes got to be alternatives that are, which I would say, less financially. I would say it's financially impairing, for lack of a better term. Anyway, does that answer the essence of what you're looking for?
Of course, thanks. I'll go take a look and do some more research. And some of them plugs into Bofang will work. It's got to be RF. Locations I'll be at will not have cell coverage, so the APRS frequency is my only option. And I got two comments about some related radios, if I have a moment.
Just leave you with one other thought. Taking something like an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi in particular, and setting it up as a tracker, because you can have it read in a GPS, a USB GPS, have it, take that and squawk out packet out its sound port to be fed into your radio would be an easy piece of code. And my gut feeling is it's probably out there, or the bits and pieces you need. If you find, a KISS mode TNC package for a Raspberry Pi, even an old Pi, and something that'll read the GPS on one of the USB ports. I gotta believe you could build it out of that for almost no money using existing open source code.
The assumption, Gordon, is that I would have a cell phone, but there wouldn't be cell coverage, and I will have a 2-meter HT. And I could probably cobble together a cable if it would help to take the audio out of the cell phone and plug it into the HD, with a PTT switch or something. So maybe there's something that could be done there with a program on the Android.
Sure. I actually use another program occasionally to just receive some of the narrowband modes, but I don't think it does APRS. But anyway, I would seriously look at not just the tiny tracker, but also look at the idea of literally carrying, a small Raspberry Pi, because I believe the audio interface could be wired between that and your 2-meter HD, and
you just take a GPS puck, which will cost you a few dollars, and slam that into the USB port and read its position, I think you'll be in that city. I mean, look up, I didn't have a chance to do this right now, but you know, do a search on APRS Raspberry Pi.
Take a look, Gordon, but the Pi, in terms of power requirements and wattage requirements, is kind of out of the ballpark.
They make tiny ones. They make a little $5 stamp looking thing.
So I'm not going to have 5 volts flying around.
Well, you could probably use, you know, you might even be able to borrow it off your radio's battery. You know, they don't run much power. They really don't. You could also look at the idea of possibly using a, an Arduino. I haven't looked at those in a long time, but that's yet another solution.
I'd like to leverage the components that I've got with me as much as possible without adding weight, without adding volts, especially without adding weird power.
Yeah, you know what I've been, I did it on a recent trip. I was actually using a Raspberry Pi with a small little, you know, battery, you know, high current, high current capacity, but, you know, 5 volts, as essentially a glorified media server. And I used the same battery to recharge my phone every so often if I had that need, and the like. And it was really slick, and I was thinking, gee, I was also backing up my phone with it, so it's just saving me time there. If I'm in trouble to get things off the phone, if I was recording video, because it was more convenient to offload to something that I could put micro SD cards in easier than it was to try to get them in and out of my phone, which is a nuisance, because you have to pull the battery, do all sorts of stuff, so it's easier to pull a micro SD out of a holder that slides into a Raspberry Pi. So recently I basically took a Raspberry Pi along as a small media file server.
Thanks, Gordon. Again, I'm trying to limit the excess equipment as much as I can for this, because it's going to be mountaintop and strictly battery power.
Okay. That's excellent. And just, you know, if you can find, you know, 2 or 3 reasons to have it, then it's fine. You could also use it for other things, but all right, whatever. It's all good. Use it for digital modes. You know, the Pi is useful as a general purpose platform. But, all right, very good. Anybody else?
WTTK.
Calling. KTB Air.
Gordon, it's Frank. WTTK with a comment.
Hey, Frank.
Just one more thing on the APRS. The app I have on my phone, which is, I have an iPhone, and I have an app called Pocket Packet, and even if you're not on a cellular network, you can connect like a standard speaker cable from the iPhone to a Bofang, and if you, you know, then just whatever, set the Bofang to Vox, and you hit transmit on the app, and it sends out the signal. It sends out, it'll transmit the APRS location.
Absolutely, you know, having a phone as a terminal is just a marvelous thing. So yeah, you could absolutely do that. And it'll read off the GPS off your phone as well, sure. That's great. So, Frank, is Pocket Packet available for Android?
I don't know. I mean, there are certainly other apps for Android. I have an iPhone, so I downloaded the Pocket Packet, and I actually wound up using that app to communicate with the space station using the APRS location. I used that. It was kind of comical. I used that app and I had a headphone jack that was, and I was then just transmitting over my Kenwood dual bander the audio, and the space station was able to receive it.
So you acoustically coupled it?
Yeah, MacGyvered it.
Absolutely. Well, I know when they run the MT-63 tests on 444-100, I've been known to just leave FL Digi up and have it receive. You watch it come through, and then FL Message kicks off, and magically it produces the pretty form. But I've simultaneously had my phone sitting there and just taken the raw data down, the metadata down from the transfer syntax. It's been pretty neat. And so, yeah, you don't need to wire anything at this point. We've also run tests in the lab space at Fairlawn where guys are talking and there's all sorts of carrying on in the operating space. And we've just left radios acoustically coupled to receive messages to see if they can cleanly detect a message and get it perfectly acoustically coupled, even though there's conversations going on in the lab area. And the answer was yes. All right. Well, this has been an interesting topic anymore. Well, thank you for that. You know, I'll look up, other options in the way of apps, but I've recorded this stuff in the notes for today. We've got the FM DMR, we've got the 146.955 noise, and we have the Bionics Tiny Tracker, APRS, RPI, and Pocket Packet app. So we've got quite a few things here listed. That's pretty cool. I haven't made much progress on my operating desk because I've been too busy. But tomorrow I'm giving it a sanding and one more coat of urethane just to kind of normalize the finish coat, spray that on. And Saturday morning I'll maybe give it one more coat. Saturday afternoon I'll bring it inside because it's going to rain Saturday night. Right now it's sitting on my deck under a tarp, but I hope to have it up here in my shack sometime next week. It involves moving two 30-inch, rack pedestals on casters up the stairs, and then mount the desktop hutch kind of thing onto the caster base. It also involves my getting a lot of the clutter out of my my shack, which is easier said than done, but that's okay. It's getting there, and I'm kind of liking it. So if everything works out on Sunday, I'll have some time to do that. We'll see. But that's working out really, really well, and I hope to have essentially a 4-foot space, quite a lot of stuff. Just leave it at that. And it'll be fine. We'll see how it all goes. But it's getting there. I got a couple more things to plan out, and then we should actually be able to deploy gear. But I've been fitting and testing ideas for how they would go, and the shack desk is moving quite along nicely. Alrighty. Thank you, Frank. I will. APRS droid on the Alphon. Yeah, I've actually seen that at various times, so I will try that and see if I get the whole link. Yep, I got it. Thank you for that. It's a nice YouTube link. I've seen that link before. That's a good one. Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.
B2SD Gordon, I just thought I'd mention it. I don't know if anyone's aware of it. They probably are. And maybe I've been asleep at the switch. Bofang, or whatever name they're using this week, has got a UV5X3, which is a tri-bander. Currently seems to be priced around $70, which seems a little bit expensive to me. It's 2 meters, 222, and 432, FM only. They also have a new variation on the UV5, which has a maximum output power of 8 watts now selectable.
I've seen the 8 water, and I've seen the tri-bander. They're pretty cool. So, Frank, do you want to talk about the tri-bander since you have one?
This is W2TKE. I have the tri-bander. A friend of mine, K2GFM, also has the tri-bander. And so far, so good. The only dilemma with it is that it comes with two antennas. One antenna is for, you know, the dual band, and then 2 meter 440, and then it comes with a separate antenna for 220. So what I did there is there are several tri-band antennas that you can get on the market. So cause I don't want to be switching antennas every time I want to use 220. So that's what I wound up getting. But so far, so good. No, I mean, it performs just like any other Bofang, so I don't have any issues to report at this time. W2TKE, back to net.
Yeah, so let me point out a couple things. I've been experimenting for a couple of years, maybe 4 or 5 years now, with various antennas, and there's a Diamond SRC-123, I think it is, or 321, which is a tri-band antenna for the THF6, and it works very nicely. It's also popular to use with the VX7s and 8s. What I noted was that it was very skinny, and it's got that extra little transformery thing in the back to, you know, the trap to match the different bands. I found them to be fragile. You beat up quite a bit. And so, one day, just because of desperation, I put a SRC-77, which is the 2 meter 440 version, and that just basically is a long, straight up coil looking thing. And I started evaluating it, not just on 2 meters and 440, but also by accident on 220. I noticed I was hitting all the same repeaters, so I checked. I couldn't really check the SWR, but I checked the emitted field strength comparing the two antennas, and they were identical. And, oh, by the way, instead of costing $45, it costs $25, and you're not going to replace it as often because it's more rugged. So that was kind of my answer. So now that uses a standard SMA male that's cast into the base of the antenna, so it's brass base. They use a female antenna and a male connector on the Biaofeng. So you could either use a female barrel connector and some washers, or you can, now they offer a dual band alternative to that. But my guess is you'd get away with not using the 220 antenna at all. Just use the dual band antenna that Diamond has as a tri-band antenna. You'll be fine. Your mileage may vary based on the output and nature of the circuit. Anyway, that would be my other, you know, but the SRH-77, or whatever its female equivalent is. I would recommend that for tri-band use based on my experience with the THF6. My wife and I each have one of those things on our HDs, and we have no problems. Anybody else?